All right, we're going to get started with our post-race media availabilities for today's Gander RV 400 here at Pocono Raceway. We are joined by the crew chief of our race-winning team, which was the number 11 FedEx Ground Toyota, driven by Denny Hamlin, and our crew chief is Chris Gabehart. We will open up to questions for Chris. Please raise your hand, and we'll get a wireless mic to you. We'll start here with Zach and then go to Scott.
Zach Sternhill, Pocono Record, front stretch. Chris, could you have made it had that race gone green?
Yeah, I felt like we could. I felt like we were in a pretty good spot. You know, there's never enough insurance in those situations, obviously, but that's why I pushed Denny as hard as I could to get around the 19 and get around the 20. I felt confident that once we could gain control of the race, that we could kind of be as in control as anybody of whatever might come, a caution or a green white checker, because now we're the leader on the restarts and those kinds of things. So I just let him go and go get the lead, and then as soon as he got out front, I pulled the reins on him and started putting some in the bank.
We're also joined by the team owner, Joe Gibbs. We'll go ahead and continue with questions. Scott.
Scott Walsh from the Scranton Times-Tribune. Chris, on TV, it sounded like at one point as you were going into overtime, Denny wasn't too happy when you were telling him to kind of maybe save a little bit there in overtime. Just how do you kind of keep, you know, keep maybe him calm or, you know, in that situation? Because I'm sure the driver's instinct is to hit the gas, not to, you know, not to save fuel.
Yeah, I think he's just so anxious, like any driver would be. One of the things I'm most thankful for is I've been in his seat, not at this level, but you know, he's sitting in a 120-degree race car for hours on end in this hot suit and helmet and in this little cocoon, and he doesn't know what's going on. I mean, he has very limited information. He's just basically doing what he's told and kind of going off that. So it can be a lot of pressure because he doesn't see the big picture, and that's where trust comes in. And I think, you know, for better or worse, whether to win the race, he had to trust me in that situation, so he didn't have a choice. But I just think I'm really so thankful for that trust that we've been able to build together, and I think that's a big part of our success.
Additional questions for Chris or Coach? Go to Kelly and then Zach.
KellyCrandallRacer.com. So, Chris, do you make the call to run him like that if you don't have two wins in the bank? Like, do you keep him out there as long as he did, or do you play this race differently?
Yeah, man, that's a great question. I think Erik Jones's scenario is that spot, right? He's right there, equally as capable of winning. They're in a tick worse fuel position than we are, not by much, but they don't have any wins, and they're right there on the bubble, and there's a lot more factors they have to consider, and I think they did a great job of doing that. But in our case, I felt like we were close enough that I just kept him on offense, get the lead, and we'll worry about the fuel situation later, and hey, if we don't make it, we don't make it. We were going for the win. So, yes, I think that's a very good observation and one that I'm glad we don't have to worry about.
Well, my other observation was, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seemed like you kind of took your time. You celebrated, but then took your time getting off the pit box and just packed everything up before making your way to victory lane. Is that normal for you, or were you just kind of taking a breath at that point?
No, I mean, I wasn't. I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but I wasn't nervous. I mean, I felt like we had done our best to make all the best decisions we could make, me and my entire team. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. So it wasn't a relief. Honestly, for me, it's about the win. I mean, it's about the win and watching my guys celebrate. That's what means the most to me. So me running down the victory lane or be the first guy here or there to do that, I don't want to say I don't care about it. I love it. I want to do it every weekend. But what's most important to me is watching my guys get to reap the rewards of their hard work. And so sitting there on top of that pit box, watching Denny do the burnouts and those guys run out on the wall and celebrate. And that's what it's about for me. I don't need any more than that.
Go back to Zach.
Coach, for a long time, this seemed to be Chevrolet and Hendrick's kind of playground for a little bit, and now Toyotas have won each of the last five races here, including Martin's win with Furniture Row. What is it about this track that you guys have dialed in on recently? And then I have a follow-up.
Well, I think our guys have done a great job. I always kind of look at how we run as a group compared to everybody else. And we've been strong the last few weeks. I've felt good about that. Just today when I went to the drivers, I always go to them before the race, and I always ask them, how are we? All of them said about the same thing, said we're pretty good. And so I felt good about that. That reflects back on everybody back at the race shop, everybody that in our sport is there's so many people that don't get to be at the racetrack. We celebrate on Mondays. We put a banner up and get a chance for me to congratulate them. But it's a huge deal for us. I kind of look at it as, you know, why you get on a run at a particular place, I'm not sure. I think our guys have a good feel for it. I think all of our drivers feel pretty good here. Denny's won here. Kyle's won here. Martin's won here. Eric was real close today. I really thought it might be Eric's day. And so I feel good about that. One thing I did want to say to everybody, JD's name is over the door. And when I think about it at this racetrack and all the other racetracks, JD gave his entire 28-year professional life to building our race team. I'm so thrilled that he's on the door of that. Denny had me give him a big hug from behind. That's what JD used to do all the time. And so I hope people out there will go to his website. We still have it up. And JD Gibbs Legacy, jdgibbslegacy.com. We've had over 3 million people go to the website. I think it's special. So I just wanted to say that, and thanks to everybody.
And then touching on the fact, you look at how the group performs, finishing 1, 2, 3, and Kyle ran very well as well. Do you take any more pride, especially seeing 3 of the 4 teams finishing up there today?
Yeah, I think I kind of look at it that way. Most of the time, like I said, we have our technical meetings on Monday, and I kind of look at us as a group, you know, how we match up against everybody else, all of our cars as a group. And so that's kind of how I measure ourselves. And, you know, I think right now we're in pretty good shape, but we know also we're getting ready for the playoffs. That's a huge deal. Everything changes when you get there. Eric's in one situation and our other guys in a different situation. So we got that strategy going on too.
I'm going to go to Bob.
Bob Pockers, Fox Sports. Joe, is there any part of you that feels any kind of bad for Eric after today? And do you have any timeline yet on a decision on him for next year?
Yeah, no, I want to say to everybody, it's so hard putting everything together. And I know people get frustrated because you haven't made a decision yet on some things. But I just say this, there's sponsors involved. There's so many relationships involved, and you're trying to go through all that and work it all out. And so I think that's part of Eric's world. It doesn't go easy sometimes, and you're working. He knows. I keep him updated. We do. He knows we're working as hard as we can. So hopefully it'll be one of those things we get put in place here pretty quick.
We'll go to Al.
Thank you. Denny, Al Pearson, Auto Week. Did your car ever sputter, ever give you any indication, ever scare you a little bit the last 6 or 8 laps or so?
No, I never had anything. I tried to keep the tank kind of full and saved as much as I could under caution, saved all I could under green. So if it was going to be not enough, it was just not going to be enough. So I was okay with the outcome one way or the other. We did everything we could to win the race. We made the calls to win the race, and it worked out for us. It was a good race for us where, you know, it was pretty smooth. Nothing crazy happened. We had good restarts when we needed them. When we didn't have a great restart there at the end, I was able to back up that track position that I lost. So it all kind of went to plan.
I want to check in up in the press box and see if there are any questions up there for Chris or Coach.
Jim Mutter, Motorsport.com. For Coach, you were talking about Eric. He's obviously that team has really poured it on the last several weeks. I know he gets frustrated without having the win, but how do you feel that they're approaching the playoffs?
Well, I think, you know, for him right now, this is a huge day. They were the ones that you really worry about because our other guys were in. Eric was on that edge. Of course, running out of fuel would be a disaster for them. But I think right now, the last 3 weeks, I think show kind of where the team is. Chris Gale over there has done a great job. And I think Eric can sense it, and we all know with young guys. Denny's been there. Drivers have been there. Once they get it, it can be something special for him, and I think Eric's right on the verge. I know for everybody, our race team, Coy, myself, everybody there, we're all excited about Eric and his future, doing everything we can to kind of get everything in place to make sure we have him taken care of.
Do we have any additional questions upstairs in the press box for Chris or Coach?
Questions.
All right, before we continue on with Denny, do we have any additional questions downstairs for Chris or Coach? All right, well, gentlemen, thank you for joining us. Congratulations. And we will now continue with questions for our race winner, Denny Hamlin. We'll stay here in the middle and then go to Kelly.
Denny, Shane Hector, WBGR Sports. Did the PJ1 even factor into your win today here at Pocono?
It did. That's how I got around those two guys on the outside. The 19 made the move to try to get around a lap car in turn three, and I saw an opportunity to dive on the outside there, and I was able to put my right side tires in it. And once I did, it had the grip, and I was able to get beside them, and that was key to then have the power position on the outside entering turn one. And then with the 20, he was saving fuel, and I could see he was saving fuel pretty early on entries. So I wanted to kind of time a run off of turn three with him to where when he kind of checked up into turn one, I just dove to the outside and got up in the PJ1 and passed him on the outside there in turn one. So it definitely was a factor. We never would have had an outside lane or even close to an outside lane had it not been on the racetrack. So I think most of the passes today probably were done on the outside. So it still can be refined and be better. I've been working with NASCAR on the track really hard on this particular racetrack, getting it in the right place. And I think that when we come back next year for the doubleheader, we're going to make it even better. So I'm happy that this track is opening up to changes, and certainly we had a better race than what we would have had without it.
We're going to go to Kelly and then go in the back.
Kelly Crono, Racer.com. Denny, there's saving fuel, and then there's saving fuel at Pocono. Has saving fuel ever been something you felt you were good at, and how nerve-wracking is it trying to do at a place like this?
Well, I think my style lends itself to saving fuel anyway. I think just the way that I get on and off the gas typically is better for fuel mileage. And when he said we were right on it, I knew I was saving fuel the entire run, except for the laps I was really trying to pass the 19 and the 20. Once I got to the lead, I was doing everything I could, just everything I'd learned over the years of saving fuel, and I just knew that if it wasn't enough, then we either didn't get it full enough or the way I'm doing it's just not good enough. But, yeah, I certainly was worried there at the end. I was less worried when the cautions came out, but I didn't want the cautions to come out because I had such a decent lead on the 19. I was just kind of pacing myself off of him. Nobody else was really coming. So I was confident that we were going to win the race without the cautions. And then when we went into overtime, Chris said, look, if it goes into overtime, we're going to have a discussion whether you got enough fuel or not. But luckily, there wasn't another green-white checkered. I don't think we would have made it if we did that.
We're going to go to the back, then go to Nate, and then check in at the press box again.
Tyler Jones, KLW in Kansas City. Denny, do you feel like after your third win of the year that you guys are on par with anybody in the sport right now? Where do you compare yourself in the position you're in?
Yeah, I mean, certainly we are contenders most weeks. I mean, there's not a week that shows up I don't think we can win. And I don't know how many teams really can say that, five or six maybe. But certainly I think that we're versed in the sense of we can win anywhere. I think our speed has showed it. We earned this one today. I didn't just go out there and, you know, block from the lead. I mean, we had to go up there and pass for the lead with 10 laps to go. So it was hard-earned. Last week was going to be hard-earned if we got that one done, but, you know, came up a little short. But we're putting ourselves in contention. I mean, we're doing a lot of the right things. And like I said last week, we haven't had this speed like this since, you know, probably 2012. When we won five races. So I think it's really, really clicking well right now.
We're going to go to Nate, and then we'll check in on the press box again.
Nate Ryan, NBC Sports. Yeah, Denny, following up on that, and what sort of pressure is there now so that you don't squander your best championship effort probably in 5 or 6 years or whatever. I mean, how do you ensure that, like, you don't peak too early or whatever, you still find that next level for the final 10?
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you, there's no such thing as peaking too early. If you're winning races, you're giving yourself a buffer in the playoffs. So I think that really any work we can put in now will just help us in the playoffs if we do stub our toe and have a bad race. So it happens. Bad races do happen in the playoffs. It happens to even championship guys. You just have to make sure you have that cushion, and that's a cushion I didn't have just a few years ago. 2014, we made it all the way to the homestead, and we were leading with 9 to go, and we had an untimely caution. Kevin Harvick pits, we lose. So it's just one of those things. We put ourselves in contention. It just doesn't work out sometimes. But I feel like as long as we keep putting the effort in what we're doing, I've got as good a shot as any. I'll wherever the cards fall, they fall. I'm not gonna work any harder or any less than I am right now. I feel like I'm doing everything I can to be better.
I'm gonna check in the press box and see if there are any questions up there.
Yeah, ChrisKnightCatchments.com. Denny, did the addition of the PJ1 restore any of your secrets that you used to win at Pocono from 2006 to 2010?
You know, maybe a little bit. I mean, I thought that the years that we were really good here before the track repaved, it was a multi-lane racetrack. You could run different grooves in each corner, mostly in turn one. It had a little bit of that in turn one. I mean, you really had to be careful not to get too high or else it was, you know, really like ice because it had no heat in it. But the part of it that did have heat had really, really good grip. So, yeah, maybe I would say that it's a little bit like it kind of used to be, but certainly we could make it better. And I'm just happy that, you know, it did play a factor in today's race and it was used in the victory.
Any additional questions in the press box right now?
No questions.
All right, we'll come back down here to the middle.
Darrell Kinsey Jr., WBGR Sports. Dan, do you think if they move the PJ1 compound down about a lane that it would maybe improve it and make it to where more drivers actually want to use it during the race?
Yeah, I mean, you got to be careful, though. You don't want to move it too close to the bottom, and that's what my first thought was when we were designing where we were going to put it, is that if you have it just one lane off the bottom, then everyone runs in it, and then nobody can run the bottom because the top cars are right on your door and you can't pass. It'll be just a freight train around the outside. So you wanted to have the opportunity for someone, if they wanted to dive low to take the shorter distance, they could do that, but not be crowded by the person on the outside. So I think that one full lane lower would be too much. But certainly my opinion was it needed about 15 feet or so in the apex, about 20 feet on entry to be right on where it needed to be.
Go back to Zach.
You kind of touched on, you know, the success that you used to have here to finally get back to victory lane. Is this any more special just knowing how meaningful this track has been to your career?
Yeah, I mean, it's, five wins, I don't even know. It doesn't register really with me. Some of these racetracks I really got a lot of wins at, and probably because I've just raced for so long that they're not all in bunches. It seems like they're really spread out through my career, which is a good thing. So, this track's been really, really good to me. It's where I got my first win, and obviously is pretty special for that reason.
And then to win this race, not only on the last restart, there were two late restarts. You had to save gas. How hard did you have to work for this win today?
I mean, it was hard. I mean, the hardest part was when I was running third and had to get around my two teammates. And obviously, I knew that was not going to be easy by any means. And, you know, I just took the opportunities that were given to me. I was patient and just made, you know, had a fast enough car to make the moves when I needed to. So it's not like I was able just to get out front, have the right tire strategy or winning strategy. And that put me out front and I was able to coast to a win. I mean, it had to be earned. I had to race for the win. I had to pass two cars, and then I had to hold everyone off on the restart, which was a task in itself. So, I can take solace, and this one was, you know, definitely hard earned.
We're going to go to Dan and then Scott.
Dan Gelson, Associated Press. Denny, What have really been the key differences for you from last year, probably one of your worst seasons in your career, to this year, where, like you said, you're having probably one of your best years, at least since 2012?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I certainly think that I'm working hard to be a better driver. I mean, I know that everyone works hard. Everybody works hard. But I think that the relationship I have with my crew chief is really good. He sets out a plan for the weekend, and it's my job. He's the head coach. I'm the quarterback. It's my job to execute the plan that he sets forth for me. And that's the way it's going to be. You know, win or lose, he comes up with the plays. I'm the one that needs to execute it. So when he says, okay, I need two positions on this restart, I got to go get two positions. So he's really done a good job of knowing what it takes to win in the Cup Series in his rookie season. And, I mean, he's going to be around for a very long time. I'm glad to be working with him, and obviously he's a short track guy from the roots, similar to what I'm from. And all the crew chiefs, really, I've worked with have had that kind of DNA. So I just think that the chemistry between him and the engineer and myself is all really, really good right now. And I'm learning, you know, I'm still learning. I'm 38, I'm not 45, and I feel like I'm still learning every single week how to be a little bit better. And so that's why it's still kind of a veteran sport, because, you know, we have the old experience that we've learned for the first 10 years of our career. And even though they've changed the cars, changed the rules, changed everything about it, we have that experience, but then we're still learning and getting better as well. So it's still no man's sport.
We'll go to Scott up front.
Scott Walsh from the Scranton Times-Tribune. Denny, it sounded on TV like when Chris told you, as you're heading into overtime, you know, to maybe set you still up, might have to save a little bit, sounded like you were a little frustrated. Can you just talk about what that's like, hearing that as a driver, where maybe you think you've saved enough? And I know, I'm sure the instinct for a driver is not to save, is to go. Yeah. You know, can you just talk a little bit about how tough that is, hearing that, and how, how you try to have to be in that save mode?
Well, we only had to run really 2.5 green flag laps in the last 7 official laps. So if anything, it made our fuel mileage better, but I knew that if we had one more green white checkered, we were probably going to be in trouble. But it was going to be me, and everybody behind me was going to be in big trouble. So I knew that I did everything I could to save. I knew the pace was a little bit slower for the leaders, and especially when I took the lead there, I started backing off. We should have been okay, and I don't know, maybe we had enough for another green white checker, but certainly I didn't want it to end on fuel mileage. I wanted for this race to end the way it naturally would have, and I knew we had, you know, probably we definitely had a top 3 car. The 14, the 18, or the 4 and the 18 were obviously really good, but we were a little better, I thought, than the 4 in the long run. And so I just didn't want to lose it this way. I wanted to execute, especially after passing for the lead there late, something we weren't able to get done last week. So,
do we have any additional questions for Denny? Go back to Zach.
The fuel window here seemed to expand a lot more today than kind of years past. Did that have anything to do with less power in the engines from years past? Because it seems like it was usually like 30 to 35, and everyone really kind of pushed that more today.
Yeah, you know, with the 550 horsepower, it definitely does. And also, there's more drafting, so there's more opportunity for you to save fuel. So, I mean, there's more drag in the cars, but I think the reduced horsepower equals more fuel than what the drag adds. So, yeah, the fuel mileage was stretched a little bit from years past.
Anything final for our race winner? All right, Denny, well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
You got it.